Thank you for being here. I'm going to be rushing through some of the slides because they're a replication or an echo of what you've heard earlier. And that's not necessarily, I would call each slide that you're going to see reinforcement, but not necessarily am I going to have to review them all. I think you have a good concept of what Nurse Family Partnership is about and the diversity across the country of how you implement a program such as this. So this is a blend of several presentations I've done in the past year or so. And part of what I want to do at the end is sort of give you my own opinion or observations about what's happened in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I have no relationships to disclose. And so this is what I'd like to have you remember when you leave this presentation, this session, but also that you would share with other folks. That as I give you the history in the organization, we're based on 9 years of history, but we have a foundation of which we want to continue. And that you will understand better the replication criteria that we adhere to, but we can identify some of our outcomes. We have a different kind of measurement tool since we've been in business for 9 years, and some of the threats that we have. And then we're going to lead into the next presentation so we can talk about one of our public health nursing innovations, of which we brought in a social worker. But this is what I consider, the two things I talk about, if you want to do an elevator talk, is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And the next one, although I don't have it on the slide, is you get what you pay for. There are just two things that are integral or foundational slogans that you could use with Nurse Family Partnership. But here in Philadelphia, the concern in 2000 and even earlier was the high numbers of children that were being served for abuse and neglect. And so they looked at the David Olds model, and they decided, the elected officials here, as well as some concerned citizens, that they would make an investment in the Nurse Family Partnership. But the history is that the mayor then moved to be governor of Pennsylvania, so that he brought along some of his staff that were here in the cabinet, and they too supported Nurse Family Partnership. And today we receive funding from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So you can see our eligibility, we're a little different than Texas in that we can do 250% of poverty. However, in the beginning, prior to our funding from Pennsylvania, we could accept up to 400% of poverty. You can see our collaborative members. And that we are unique in that we have a collaborative nurse-managed centers here in Philadelphia. It was one of the initial requirements for the grant that two or more community-based organizations write their proposal together. And they did trust that I could write a proposal in 3 weeks, which was a little tough. But so you can see the organization, the National Nursing Centers Consortium, is the fiduciary and advocacy part of the collaborative here in Philadelphia, and we have Lutheran Children's Family Service, Temple Health Connection, 11th Street Family Services. So we are basically probably bordering on one of the largest sites in Pennsylvania, and our city has 1.5 million residents, which is about 12% of the Pennsylvania population. And we can serve up to 416 participants, give or take. Our goal is 400 minimum. And as of last year, this past quarter, we had nearly 2,000 enrolled in the program and approximately this many graduates. You can see some of the composition of our staff and that we have basically encouraged everyone to pursue advanced education. This is part of the criteria. It's a very labor-intensive and very professional model, so that our supervisors work with our staff one-on-one weekly to be able to help them plan and work better with the clients. It is not a supervisory interpretation that you might think of in a typical nursing community or work community. And all of our nurse home visitors spend about 6 to 8 weeks the first year they're with the Nurse Family Partnership program, acquiring the skills with which to work with clients or participants. There are really six curricular domains now. I want you to view some of the concepts that we acquire during the educational programs. That it's a strength-based, solution-focused model, and that you're developing a relationship with parents that are going to help them understand their life goals and make wise decisions about how they act, what decisions they'd make about their children and their significant others. And you did hear about all the tomes about keeping records, and I did not want to have you look at one of our charts right now, but they are not only heavy, that when we when someone graduates or a case is closed, I don't need to tell you how many papers we're storing. This is what we look for our nurses. We really want them to have a public health focus. We want them to have a commitment to prevention, a desire to work with the underserved, the ability to develop open and trusting relationships, likes the unknown, can be a risk taker, and as I say, not be afraid of parallel parking. Okay? So these are theories that basically frame the model. It's important for you to know that it is a research-based and basically model that frames our services too. So what do we have for our characteristics? Well, right now, and it changes every quarter because you're adding more individuals to be able to develop your profile, right now it's about 18 years, but our youngest this past year was 10 and our oldest has been 44. Remember, these are first-time mothers. Our education is 10th or 11th grade. Now, I need to give you something to have you think about that. They tell you, these are self-reports, they tell you that they are in 10th or 11th grade. That does not necessarily mean that they truly have the academic skills at that level. Some of them have been socially promoted, meaning that you have to really find out over time what their ability is to understand the material and how the nurse can communicate with them better. Some of our clients are participants, and I use those terms interchangeably, are very limited intellectually, and nurses have had to bring out coloring materials so they can color for them to learn better the information that will help them be a better parent. Our Medicaid is 55% upon enrollment, but by the time the mother is ready to deliver, it's usually 100%, unless a grandmother or the mother of the pregnant woman is employed and can cover that mother until she delivers. Our ethnicity is predominantly representative of our high-risk neighborhoods in which we work, African-American, Hispanic. Our income is $10,500, et cetera, and a lot of them are unemployed at this time. I also want to say that we can take anyone. We are not restricted as Texas is, and if someone is, quote, illegal, we can still accept them in the program. These are some of the characteristics that I was alluding to before, and over time, these characteristics or the needs of the clients emerge. You will not necessarily find out everything in a first home visit, but within a 30-month time span, you would find out how needy our families are, and how all of these interface and make delivering the nurse home fit, the Nurse Family Partnership Program, very complex when you have so many needs. I don't think I have this on the slide anywhere, but anecdotally or self-reported by the nurses, 5 of the fathers of the babies have been murdered since March. I think I do have it later. So we have the opportunity to look back and look forward. So we've had 6 years of participants. So you can see that we're in our third cohort. I'm not really going to be speaking on much of that. But on our second cohort, they're poorer. Unemployment is up. Our Medicaid upon enrollment is higher. Our food stamps. So you can see that the characteristics of our clients upon enrollment mean that they are more needy. And I think our third group will be needier. These are some of our outcomes to date. And again, they change every quarter because more are added into the statistics. So we've had an opportunity to reduce, as David Old has said, statistically significant use of drugs or other substances that would influence a pregnancy outcome. And that our goal is to have more women initiate breastfeeding. So this has really improved, although our goal was national service office is even higher. And at one point or another, 90% are in or completing school. That doesn't mean that at this point in time I can say that, but at one point some of them were. And that 91% of our offspring are immunized, fully immunized at 2 years. And more moms in the past have entered and stayed in the workforce, but I think this past year will be very telling. They're not able to keep jobs, and we'll talk about that in another presentation. And what we're really delighted about is that our babies are brighter and smarter. That, in fact, the goal is to have 25% of the babies not have the language skills at a reasonable level at 21 months. And in fact, our babies are just 10% below 10% percentile, so that we feel that our babies are really acquiring the skills that are going to help them after they finish the program and enter school. And you can see some of what was in 2007, which was our another cohort. And this is what David Olds has found out about prison. And this is not necessarily, this is a 15-year follow-up now. He's got his 30 years to say. But moms and their children are less likely to be involved in the juvenile justice system or the adult justice system. And Tara has spoken to that. Now, this is a projected cost for what our program in Philadelphia is. This is not what we receive from the Commonwealth. This is why we scramble to find our dollars to make a whole. And so I calculated out, based on what it does truly cost to administer the program, based on the agencies who support this so kindly with their indirects, et cetera. It costs us about $5,400 a year to run the program, all right? That's almost $15 per mother and child, or $7.50 a person per day. And I did have that there. Now, I just wanted to give you a framework about why I'm concerned of the perspective that we have in our state legislature, but what is more common across our country. Our community is violent. People are angry. They don't have employment. They have few activities that are going to keep them engaged and off the streets. So we had an increase in drive-by shootings as well as homicides in our city over the past 2 years. And one of our graduates, one of our nurse family partnership's children, and one of the nurses is here who knows that family, was shot during a drive-by shooting. And this is a rough guess. In the city of Philadelphia, of our wonderful 1.5 million people, about 9,000 people are incarcerated in our Philadelphia prisons. That's modest. They're often overcrowded. And the fixed price, so they've told me, is about $40,000 a year to keep one prisoner in prison. Also, you have 53,000 people on probation and parole. We also have locally a DHS shakeup that is still continuing. Babies have died on their watch. So there's a big interpretation, it's a different model for social service programs to children who are at risk. So I wanted to do some math. I wanted to think about this a little bit. If you're incarcerated, if you receive a sentence in Philadelphia, this is the trick. If you have received a sentence for less than 2.5 years, you go to the Philadelphia prison. If you're sentenced for more than 2.5 years, you go to the state prison. So if you're in Philadelphia prison, it's Philadelphia dollars, because the state prison is state dollars. So sometimes it might be better that they get a larger sentence. My opinion, all right? So if you have someone who's here for 2.5 years, you're spending $90 million fixed costs, or $110 a day per prisoner. So what's the difference? $15 a day for a nurse family partnership program, $110 per prisoner. And that doesn't count all the costs to going to trial, et cetera. That is only when they are officially incarcerated. So what's not to like about nurse family partnership? Why would you think you might not want to put it in the program? Well, anyone here in public health, I don't need to sing to the choir, but I'm going to say it again. You want to focus on the immediate problem. It's in the news. It's what you need to try to fix, even though the immediate problem happened 10 years ago. So prevention is expensive when your outcomes are measured decades later. And so David Olds has done us all a great favor in public health, and he was determined to do research and research and research before he rolled it out for a replication model. our elected officials and political will change. And so we don't know what's going to happen in Pennsylvania in the next election. Will there be more bipartisan support? Will someone think this is important? And there's also competition for every dollar out there now. And we have, as Tara mentioned, competing professional viewpoints about the model. So what are our challenges here? They're not unlike anyone who's working in a public health program across the country. It is a great recession. But Pennsylvania, characteristically, was quite unique this year. 101 days without a budget. We received not one penny to continue the program. But as all the nurses in Philadelphia know, I kept saying, we're going to stay together because it's harder to knit a sweater than it is to unravel it. And we felt that we needed to stay, as all the nurse family partnership programs in Pennsylvania did, that we wanted to make a statement about how committed we and our organizations were to continuing this model. However, we have a flat budget. We've had a flat budget for 3 years, which means you sort of have to move things around and hopefully everything will work out in the end. But we had to cut this year about 6%. There's a lot more history, don't want to go into it, but I can share it later. However, I want to recognize Octale and Public-Private Ventures for the fact that they really believe prevention is key, and Octale is the Department of Public Welfare department in which we receive our funding. And they have introduced many high-quality early childhood programs. And they continue to support Nurse Family Partnership that was there before that unit was formed. But I wanted to give you some examples about what you might, in fact, be experiencing in your state. Our governor wanted to increase our tax base from 2% to 3%. Now remember, we are very low, and I am a New Jersey girl, so I can tell you what it costs to live in New Jersey in taxes. So to me, it made common sense that he wanted to have a time-limited tax increase. So in 3 years, you could revisit it, but the state legislators would not go for that. However, they did increase the state funding for prisons, and they continued the $40-plus million support for the new soccer stadium in Chester. So you can see that the decisions that are made by legislators have a lot to do with a variety of things. So I'm asking you and all your colleagues to go out and continue to be an advocate for Nurse Family Partnership programs, as well as every other program that will make a difference in the lives of people. Because we all have hope and we all have vision. Because this is our future. And we will go on to the next session. Thank you.